What's going on, everybody? Welcome to episode 9 of Fly Conversations. This is your host, Mel. So last week, I actually gave you guys an introduction on air traffic control, and I got a little treat for you. So this week, I've got an actual air traffic controller. One of my friends goes by the name of Jess. She actually works at Atlanta Center, or the ARTC, ARTCC, or Air Route Traffic Control Center, to be exact. And, you know, I invited her here to give some insight, you know, trials, tribulations, you know, how she got into it and everything. So without further ado, I'm just going to introduce Jess. How you doing?
I'm doing great.
There you go.
All right.
Tell me something.
Well, first of all, I think this is awesome that you're doing this. It's really dope that I'm here being a black woman in aviation.
Yes, ma'am.
In this industry that, I mean, let's just be honest, it's still white male dominated, or where air traffic control is, for sure. So I think it's great that, you know, I'm here to just let people know that not only are there black people in the industry, but black women. And the Atlanta Center is the busiest air traffic control facility in the world. I think most people are aware that Atlanta Airport is the busiest airport, but we actually, not only do we work all the aircraft going in or out of the airport, but, you know, we take care of Charlotte is the sixth busiest, I believe, airport in the world. We handle those planes too. So have you ever seen that movie Pushing 10? It's a joke. It was an old movie with Angelina Jolie. But anyway, it was about air traffic control, and it's an old joke because they say Pushing 10. But yeah, we're up there and we're doing our thing. So I really appreciate you asking me to do this.
Of course, absolutely.
Just to give you a quick background of how I got involved in air traffic control, it's really simple. I listened to my mama. Right after I graduated from tech, I did the whole thing where everybody tries a little bit of this, a little bit of that. And I was kind of getting tired of the corporate grind, you know, just sales and all this. And she got a alert from USA.gov because she was working at the post office at the time, said the FAA was looking for air traffic controllers. And the only requirements were to have a degree. It didn't matter what the degree was in. If you had a degree and you can pass the background test, you can apply. So I literally just said, okay, fine. And I applied just so I could tell her I did it. And she wouldn't get on my nerves about it. And I follow every single step as it would come. Just every week or so, I would get a phone call or email saying, hey, can you go over here and do a drug test? Hey, can you fill this out for your background test? And I did all of that still with just like, let me just do this so I can say I did it. And then after a while, you know, I get the call like, yeah, you've passed everything. You passed the test. You passed the background. And we want to send you to Oklahoma City to actually go to the academy. That's where the Aeronautical Academy is, where everybody who wants to be an air traffic controller at whatever facility, you have to go out there and just get your basics in ATC 101. And that's when I Googled air traffic control to figure out what I got myself into. But so, yeah, I go out to Oklahoma, and, you know, you meet all these people. I know you're a pilot. You go out there and you meet all these pilots. You meet people who've wanted to be air traffic controllers their entire life.
Right,
and you're
right.
Like, that's the thing.
Right.
Like, people grow up saying they're going to do this. And, you know, my eyes were wide open because I never even considered a career. But I got blessed out there, man. I was part of a test group. I was telling you earlier that the program that we use now is called ERAM. And it's our system that we use to help us track aircraft, keep track of conflictions, just everything we do in our computer or our software, if you will. And at that time, they were testing it out. So my class got picked to be that test group. And because we were that test group, we were pass. So there's this big evaluation everyone has to take out there. And after 4 months of studying and doing all you can, if you don't pass that evaluation, that's it. Mm-hmm. And I didn't have to take that. And that is one of the biggest blessings I say to this day. So I go out there in Oklahoma, but of course I still had to study because I had to learn how to do it. Mm-hmm. And I still took it very seriously. And that lasted for 4 months back in 2009. And I get back to Atlanta Center, and that's when it really gets started. You know, you pass the initial, you pass Oklahoma, and now you're here at your facility and you're still working to keep your job. So once you get to your facility, and I'll just keep it for centers since I know it, you basically go through a series of classes, simulations, and then you get on the floor and you work with real planes, real training. And you do that twice, basically, to get checked out every single position in whatever area you work at. And, you know, training, I would say, and I think any air traffic controller would agree with me, that's the part. Like, that's those 3 years. That's when you, because, you know, you're literally at any moment, you could, you know, pass, and then you get stuck on something. And I've seen it happen. I've seen someone, you know, get through this school, pass the simulation, you know, get checked out, get your raise. That's another thing. You get your raises as you go. So, you know, you reach this next pinnacle and you're there. And then they get to maybe that last sector that they got to get checked out on. And they just can't get it. For some reason, they can't. And your heart, and you know, when you're watching that happen, you know, maybe the person in training ahead of you, right. And you're watching them and you're like, oh Lord, I remember I would have to get to work like 15 minutes early to sit in my car and you know, pray a little bit, calm down, you know, maybe meditate, because it's just so much, you just feel so much pressure. And once again, you know, I was blessed. My trainer was awesome. He was low-key. He was chill. He really wanted me to make it. But it doesn't matter. It's still all eyes are on you. The whole building, 400-plus people. And then, okay, you got all these people. But then you're a black woman. Mm-hmm. So then the microscope is even smaller.
Right.
You know, right. And as you're walking around, people you don't know, but they know you. Right. Hey, how's training going?
Yeah.
How you doing? And you're like, I'm fine.
Right.
You know.
Right. Yep.
And they're just looking out for you. But still, it's just so much pressure. You know, your mom is asking you, how's that going? Your friends are, because you done told everyone you're an air traffic controller.
Right.
Like, I'm an air traffic controller. And you're like, Lord, in 3 months, I still better be an air traffic controller.
Yeah.
So yeah, you get through that. You make it. You get your last raise. You party.
Yeah.
And then you're on your own. So then there's that next step.
Okay.
Because, you know, this whole time you've had someone with you.
Right.
I actually have a trainee now. Mm-hmm. That's a whole nother story. But okay. Anything he does, if he messes up, that's on my dime. It's not on him.
Right.
Because I'm the certified controller.
Gotcha.
So that whole time, you know, at least there's nothing that is going to be on your record.
Right.
But then you get checked out, and I think everyone remembers that first day you come in there, and you checked out, and you proud of yourself, but then you sitting by yourself.
Right.
And you sitting by yourself, and you looking, and you're like, ain't,
you know what I mean? That's it. You're on your own.
Right. Every decision you make is your decision.
Yeah.
So, I've been doing it for, I'd say I got checked out within 3 years of getting in there. So, what's that, 09, 10, 11? So, I've been checked out about 6 years now, and I can honestly say, like, air traffic control is second nature to me, which is awesome.
Yeah.
Like, because that was one of my goals, to not be afraid of work. And I know that sounds weird, but I'm not going to say names, of course, but y'all know who y'all are. No, but there are controllers that I feel still have that little bit of anxiety because of the scope of the job,
right.
And the, you know, what could happen, and the uncertainty of the job.
Right.
You know, at any given time, I say that 75% of the time you go to work, boom, 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 everything works. Everything happens exactly the way you expect it to. It's that 25% of the time that we're, you know, we say we earn our money.
Mm-hmm.
That time where, you know, that Southwest keys up and they say, you know, we've lost pressurization and we're descending to 10,000 feet.
Right.
And you're like, okay, yeah, you've got five planes right up, you know.
Right.
Or when that VFR pilot says he's entered IFR conditions and he's not instrument rated.
Right.
Or, I mean, you know, all these things have happened to me, or, you know, just anything can happen. You know, there's a lady who's having a heart attack and they need to get to the quickest airport, and
right.
We need vectors. And that's that moment where you literally have to go from, you know, not zero, because you're hopefully never at zero,
right.
But you're just doing your job, and then you've got to turn it up.
Right.
And I really wanted to make sure that I was never afraid to come to work and know that anytime I could do that. Wow. And it has been a blessing to, I can honestly say that air traffic control does not scare me. Do I always like it? No. You know, during the summertime, this is our time where we're just like, man, I mean, we just all trying to get through it together. We, you know, this is when there's snappy times. Yep. This is when there's just, you know, help me, help you, help me. You know, and we're short right now. There's a lot of training happening. A lot of people have retired. 56 is mandatory retirement. I'm not sure if you are aware of that, but everyone's got to go at 56. Wow. And the way it's happened, some people are in there and they're like 54 and they're eligible to right. retire. And they're like, no, I'm going to hang out. And then a month later, it's like, I'm going to go.
Right.
And you're like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
So, yeah, this has been an interesting year. This is the most I've worked. Mm-hmm. 6-day work weeks, you know, 6 weeks in a row, 6 days, mm-hmm. 5 weeks in a row, you know, and it's been a lot, but we're in there just trying to trudge through it, you mm-hmm. know, because you can sit there and you can say you go to work. I don't feel like it. I'm tired. You're human.
Right.
But when you sit down, you've got to remind yourself that these are people.
Yep.
And that they are depending on you mm-hmm. to get from A to B safely. And, you know, when my mom is on a plane, mm-hmm. when my friends are on a plane, I would never want an air traffic controller to try to use "I was just tired" as a reason why they didn't do their job to the best of their ability. There's right. human error, of course, and that's why there's more than one air traffic controller. That's why there's a pilot. That's right. why there's, you know, mm-hmm. TCAS alerts.
Yeah.
But as far as someone just, like, not doing the best of their ability, that's never going to be acceptable.
Yeah, I hear that.
Absolutely.
Okay. Yeah. So with you working at a center, and I briefly spoke about it last week, can you tell us again the difference between, Tower, Tracon, and what you do yeah. at the center?
Okay, so the easiest way I could think, you know, Delta takes off from Atlanta Airport. You know what I mean? You know, clear for takeoff. That's where you're going to hear that. You know, I never say clear for takeoff. They say clear for takeoff, you know, runway, blah, 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 blah. I don't know exactly what they say, obviously, but they say their thing. Mm-hmm. Clear for takeoff, runway, you know, da, 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 and they go. And then once they depart, you know, they give them an altitude. You know, they've got charts. They're called SIDS and STARS,
yep.
Standard Instrument Departures, mm-hmm. Standard Arrivals. Mm-hmm. So they, you know, they depart via whatever so that, you know, it's very time efficient. They already know what they're doing. The,
right.
the pilot knows what he's doing. Mm-hmm. And then I'm pretty sure that right after they're taken off, Atlanta Tower Controller switches him immediately to, we call him 880, but the TRACON, you know, contact approach. Mm-hmm. And they switch that frequency, and then they're going to take them, do whatever they got to do. They might put them on a heading, turn them, slow them. They control the traffic, and they climb them to their highest altitude, which for Atlanta area is 14,000. Once they get up to 14,000, then it's contact center at, you know, whatever this frequency. And then that center, my area where I work, actually, we don't do departures, and we don't have a departure sector, and it bothers me because mm-hmm. I wish we did.
Right.
We have an arrival sector, we don't have a departure sector, but I'm aware of the area next to me does have their west departure. So this plane's going from Atlanta to, say, San Antonio.
Right.
You know, they've climbed them to 14, they switch them to them, and then once again, they take them, and then now we're at the center, and we see that this Delta wants to go to San Antonio at 36,000, or we say flight level 360.
Mm-hmm.
And that's their requested final altitude. And we're going to climb them safely till they finally get to that altitude. They might not get there immediately. You know, it might be 20 minutes in their flight that, but we can always see where they want. We turn them, speed them, and then we send them on their way. And then it goes the other way around. Okay,
right.
So now we're getting down into Houston Center.
Mm-hmm.
and we descend them to the top of whatever approach control owns, you know, 15,000. Mm-hmm. Now we switch them to the approach control. Mm-hmm. They send them down, and then finally they give them to the tower at San Antonio.
Right.
And they say clear for landing.
Right.
So that's how that goes.
Okay, dope.
Yeah.
So how many airplanes have you talked to at once at the same time?
Man, okay, let's see. So the sectors that can get super busy volume are your ultra high sectors. Mm-hmm. And these are just planes that you're saying hi bye to. They're mm-hmm. en route.
Yeah.
We're not really descending or climbing them. Mm-hmm. They're at their cruising altitude, and this guy's going from New York to LA, mm-hmm. and he's just going 150 miles through my airspace. Mm-hmm. So those are the ones that get really busy. And I mean, personally, I would say at any given time I've talked to, like, on my frequency, you have, like, 30, 32 planes on your frequency at one time.
What?
And that's a lot of planes. That's a lot.
Wow.
You know, for a ultra-high sector like that, I would say you're averaging maybe, like, 20. That's volume that's average in your... For Atlanta Center now, remember.
But you're talking. Busiest. But you're talking to 20 airplanes at one time.
At one time, yes.
Holy smokes.
Yeah, yeah. And yeah,
wow.
Yeah,
that's a lot.
Well, when you say that like that, I guess it is, but I'm like, is it a lot? But yeah, you know, during these summer months, man, everyone's going everywhere. And yeah, we call it a red sector. Mm-hmm. You know, we have this board that we look at to tell us proposed numbers, like, mm-hmm. okay, in about 15 minutes, it looks like it'll be 18 planes. And if it's red, you gotta look at that number and see, okay, we got a lot. That's a lot. And that's when, you know, that heightened sense. When it's no weather, when it's a beautiful day, mm-hmm. it's okay.
Right.
Now you start putting thunderstorms all over the place. And now you're talking to some complexity. Because not only are they all talking, but now they've become the only plane in the sky to them. And they need to, you know, go around some weather.
Right.
And they don't care who else you're talking to.
Right, right.
Yeah, so
wow.
It can get crazy out there.
Right. So how about the money? That's like the big question.
Hey, ask the big question.
What's the money look like?
The money, I cannot complain. Uh-huh. I'm not going to lie. Let's just be real. That's the top perk.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. The money is the top perk. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, I don't love too much overtime, but when you start adding that to it, you know, it has allowed for, you know, the town hall, you know, and, you know, the Lex out there in the front that's mm-hmm. been paid for, and mm-hmm. yeah. the mama who, you know, does not pay her credit card bill. So yeah, the money is great. It is. It yeah. is. And, you know, I think most air traffic controllers would agree to work at a busier facility to make more money mm-hmm. is worth it. Mm-hmm. You know, you could go somewhere and work at a tiny tower and keep your feet up all day. Mm-hmm. You know, the air traffic controllers you see in movies where are real. They're, you know, little VFRs. But you ain't making that money.
Right.
I think anybody, if you got to be somewhere for 8 hours, you might as well mm-hmm. make the money. But the money, the benefits, it's a government job. So, mm-hmm. you know, you got great government benefits, the opportunity for the retirement plan. And I don't know what's going to happen when it's time for me to retire as far as the pension. But that was one of the things that was attractive, you know, the early retirement. Because mm-hmm. I'll be eligible to retire at 50. Well, of course, an option to stay until I'm 56, which will add a good chunk of money on there. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the pension, you hear rumors all the time about stuff. I mean, that's just life, you know. There ain't going to be Social Security. There ain't going to be whatever.
Right, right.
But the another thing really attractive about the job, I will say this too, because I think about this all the time, because I've got some friends that are brilliant who are not in aviation. You know, mm-hmm. there's a lawyer here, an engineer here, but they have a cell phone that at any given time, an email, mm-hmm. a phone call. I have a friend who works in the pharmaceutical industry, and she has this bomb job. But man, if she got to work till 8 or 9, she got to work till 8 or 9. When I'm not at Atlanta Center, there is nothing I can do for Atlanta Center. I'm not getting a phone call. Mm. I'm not getting text. So that is so attractive, especially if you ever worked in sales or anything mm-hmm. where you yep. know, you might get home and you'd be like, all right, back to work. Literally, work, work, work.
Right.
No, if I'm not there, ain't nothing I can do for there. Hmm. And I can leave and totally just dump the day.
Right.
And start over with a complete, I mean, and then another thing, you could do that at work too. You know, you work a session.
Yeah.
And you suck. Mm-hmm. Like, man, I don't know why, but I cannot get those guys in a row. You know, you're working Atlanta guys and you've got 5 coming from the south, 6 coming from the west, and you just terrible today. You can't get speeds together.
Right.
You go take a break, you come back, them planes are gone. They don't know who you are. And you could, like, you just tell, it's like I tell my trainee, dump it. Right. Let it go. Like, take what you know, learn from it, and then dump it. So that is really attractive about the job. Like, you know, you can have your weekend, you can be off, and you're off.
Right.
Like, totally, completely off. And there's nothing you have to remember about Friday to bring back on Monday, because it's a completely new scenario. It's a total new planes, total new scenario, mm-hmm. total new day. Mm-hmm. Let it go. So, yeah.
So, if anybody wanted to get into air traffic control, right, what's the route?
Okay. Well, I learned that apparently there are schools, CTIs. Mm-hmm. What is that? College Training Initiative. I believe that's what that acronym. I think so. Yeah.
I think so.
Pilots go there. Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's Middle Georgia, I believe, has a pretty popular one. The one that's like the holy grail. Mm-hmm. You know, shout out to all you people. Embry-Riddle.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, you, that apparently is like, mm-hmm. you know, you're not, whatever. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, you can go there and, you know, I major in ATC. Yeah. I heard it's pretty expensive.
Mm-hmm.
I would encourage anyone, especially if you are young, because you can't apply after 31. 31's the cutoff.
31's the cutoff.
31 is the cutoff. After that, no go. But always, I got hired during a public offering, and they kind of do these, I would say at least average every 2-ish years, maybe. Okay. Mm-hmm. USAjobs.gov is absolutely the route everyone has to take. It's the route I took. There's no, like, let me hook you up with an mm-hmm. ATC job, mm-hmm. you know, or anything like that. But I would encourage anyone to just, you know, periodically go to USAjobs.gov, type in air traffic control, go to the FAA website. Like, you got, just do a little bit of research. And it's not difficult. It's pretty cut dry. And, you know, if anyone, you can follow me on Instagram, because a lot of times the air traffic controllers on Instagram put up like, hey, there's a public offering.
Mm.
And the only requirement for the public offering has always been, you know, 4-year degree or 4 years of work experience. Mm. So there are guys out there, ATC, who don't have a degree, who don't even have a high school diploma, got a GED.
Really?
Yeah. And they worked for 4 years at a job, you know.
So you just need any job work experience?
4 years.
That's
it. Progressive work experience. No gap. Just like if you've worked at Chick-fil-A for 4 years and they have a public offering, mm-hmm. and you can prove that you've been there 4 years consecutively or had a job, and you can pass that background. So, yeah, that's another thing, young people, what you do. Look, it's not just something that they say, but, yeah, you got to think about this stuff. Things that you do, these little, you know, petty misdemeanor stuff like that, that stuff, you know, will come back up. But if you're clean, mm-hmm. and clean in other ways, too,
right.
you know, you got to be able to pass the drug test.
Right, right.
Yeah, and then they say you can take the test.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
That I did not
know. Now, the test itself.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I've heard some weird things about it. Let me be honest. Because when I took it, it was broken up into, like, the air traffic control test. And then there was other, like, there was a psychology test. Because
right.
they got to know that you're not crazy.
Right.
Which, that test is weird.
Yeah.
I mean, it,
yeah.
they're basically trying to catch you not being consistent with answers.
Gotcha.
You know? Mm-hmm. But I've heard that the new test is just, it's just weird. So it would, if you know anyone who's maybe an air traffic controller, it would be smart to maybe ask them for some guidance when answering some of these questions.
Mm-hmm.
Because I would think that they're looking for an air traffic controller, obviously, by nature of the job, is controller. You got to be a decision maker, and you got to want to be in charge. You got to be analytical, and you've got to be able to make a decision, see that it's a terrible decision, make another one. See that one, it doesn't, I mean, you know, that, and it's a bunch of, what is it, type A's, oh my goodness. Yeah, yeah. Can you imagine when there's a disagreement? It is, because there's 8 million ways to do the same thing, but right. Your way is right.
Right.
And so I think just the way they ask these questions, it's not about not being honest, mm-hmm. but it's also being smart. Like, what kind of answer are you looking for? Right. Let me take what you want, mold it in what I think, and give you a good answer. Yeah. If you know what I mean? Yeah. You know, I haven't seen it, mm-hmm. the actual tests or the questions now, mm-hmm. but I heard that they can get real weird. So
interesting.
Yeah.
So then you pass the test, and then OKC after that, Oklahoma City?
You pass the test, and, you know, I think it's based on now, especially how well do you pass it? Okay. You know, the better you pass it, obviously, the better. What they do now is, yes, if everything is a go and they give you an OK Oklahoma City date, they give you the date. When you go to Oklahoma City, you don't know what facility you're going to.
Right.
When I did it, I knew I was coming back to Atlanta, but they've changed that now. So in general, now, the better you do in Oklahoma City,
better facility you get.
Well, the choice. They give you, you get the list. Like, here's the list. Right. Where do you want to go?
Right.
So I done passed with a 99. I get to choose. And then this guy passed with an 80. He still get to choose, but he got to pick what's left.
Right.
The last I heard, you know, and also now that there's also the need for controllers in places. New York is in dire need of controllers.
Wow.
So I believe the guys in Oklahoma City now, the ones who do good, are automatically going out to New York.
Because that's where they need people.
That's where they need people. Now, they're going to make money, but it's still New York. So making money in New York is way different. It's like the locality pay out there, where is it, Oakland?
Yeah.
It's like 35%. And you thinking, man, but do you know how much it costs to live out there?
Right.
So that doesn't necessarily mean that that's where somebody would want to stay. Mm-hmm. You know, the transfer list is always jumping in the FAA. People always, you know, want to maybe get back to where family is.
Yeah.
Want to get back to a city that's a little bit more affordable. You know, Atlanta is dope for that.
Sure.
Thank God for that, you know. but I always joke and say people in Houston, now they winning because they get, Houston, I'm talking about y'all. Y'all get so much money because the oil and all that stuff out there makes the locality pay, but you ain't got to buy. Yeah, they winning out there in Houston Center.
Okay,
so
okay.
They lucky. I like them. Yeah, they're good people.
Now, as far as contact, you mentioned Instagram before.
Yeah, my Instagram is Jungle Jessie, JungleJessi, and if I hear about a public offer anytime soon. You know, there should be one coming up. There's a buzz around the center when it is. And we always try, especially the black people,
mm-hmm.
we always try to listen out because
yep.
we always are trying to get, I mean, you know, it's one of those careers where I tell people, just don't say no.
Mm.
Like, you don't have to go. You can get all the way to the point where they give you a date. You can still say, never mind.
Right.
But I just say, keep an open mind. Because I always think about, what if I just was being difficult and just didn't do it?
Hmm.
You know, and the fact that I just was like, fine, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's been a blessing. You know, is it necessarily what I want to do forever? You know, no. I've got my own hopes and dreams
right,
of doing
right.
stuff.
Yep.
But for a career, what it has allowed me to do financially, and the job itself is cool. Like, I was telling someone the other day, actually last night while we were working that overnight shift,
mm-hmm.
you know, there's a lot of conversations that happen at 4 a.m. You're trying
sure.
to help each other
yeah.
out. But you've got to remind yourself, and I'm sure this is true in other industries, but you got to remind yourself, if you got a cool job, and a lot of times other people remind me,
mm.
like when they say, what do you do? And I go, oh, I'm an air traffic controller. And they're like, whoa, that's so cool. And I'm
right,
like,
right, exactly.
Yeah, that's kind of cool.
Right.
You know? And, right. you know, you can't take for granted that, you know, I do like the fact that I go to work and I've got an important job. You know, I've got something that is, you know, it's just not paperwork. It's not just sitting at a desk typing up a letter, taking notes. No, I've got an important job that I need to do to the best of my ability because literally lives are in my hands.
Right. Yeah.
And, you know, it's not to put negative pressure on me, but it's to just, you know, remind yourself that this is a dope responsibility and it's dope that you can do it.
Right.
And a lot, what happens is a lot of times, like, if you're working and, you know, there's weather, because that's always the time usually when you're so busy, mm-hmm. you know, and you're working maybe the Atlanta push. Which is insane. Everybody, I mean, wants to get to Atlanta at right. Friday at 8 or 3. And they let everybody come to
Atlanta. Right, right.
And, I mean, you're talking constantly. You know, you're laser focused. It's insane how your heart rate, you know, you're into it. And it just takes one pilot, you know, you switch him to approach control and he goes, good job. And you're just like, yes!
Wow.
No, it does. It's amazing That's how that cool. would just help your psyche because it's just so appreciative because they can hear how busy you are. They know, and you know, normally it's, you know, Delta pilots, you know, guys who've been doing it for years, and they know that you're doing your best to keep them safe, get them in. You know, if there's a storm coming over Atlanta, they know there's a storm coming over Atlanta, right. and they trying to get in there before it, you know, right. they shut us off, and right. now you. And when they do that, though, it literally, it sounds cheesy, but it makes it worth it. Like, you just appreciate it. Just somebody said thank you.
That's dope.
You know, or, you know, they just say good job.
That's dope.
Yeah, it really is.
That's fantastic, man.
Yeah.
So, you know, I hope you guys, you know, got something from this interview. It's pretty dope, man. What she does is actually, you know, very, very amazing. You know, now, you know, myself being a new pilot, you know, on my longer trips, I do use air traffic control to keep me safe out there, you know, and they help me out. I haven't gotten denied yet, you know, so it's been pretty good. So I'll get back with you guys next week. For episode 10, and hit me up. Remember, my Instagram is MelTheTraveler_, and if you got any more questions, you can also email flyconversations@gmail.com, and keep in touch. Holler at you guys later.